I recently learned a very interesting insight about cows and buffalo. And it's a very timely insight, I guess, if you look out your window and it's still raining outside. It has a lot to do with the nature of cows and buffalo when there's a storm. How do cows react to a storm? And how does the American bison, aka better known to us as the buffalo, respond to a storm? So it's very interesting. When there's a very powerful storm, cows typically huddle together, trying to face the storm as a group, sort of frozen in place, or they try to run in the opposite direction of the storm. And what's fascinating is that buffalo do the exact opposite. Buffalo charge directly in the direction of the storm, which is an amazing thing. Now, this story of bison and buffalo, I learned about from a book by a fellow named Rory Vaden. He's about a year younger than myself. He's a self-discipline strategist, and he wrote a book, a best-selling book, in 2012 called Take the Stairs. And he discusses what he calls the pain paradox. What's the pain paradox? It's a very chashuv word, and I want to think about it tonight in the context of the 9 days. He says that short-term easy leads to long-term difficult, and short-term difficult leads to long-term easy. In other words, the title of the book, Take the Stairs, comes from the following passage. The last time you came up to a set of stairs and an escalator, did you take the stairs? When you have an option to take the elevator, the escalator, or take the stairs, what do you choose? Now, I think I've mentioned in the past, my minhag in YU for the past year or so, when we used to have yeshiva, was that I only take the stairs. I gave up on the elevator. So, Baruch Hashem, I can answer that yes, I take the stairs. But if you're like 95% of the world, he writes, then you probably didn't take the stairs. Most people don't. Most of the time, we look for shortcuts. We all want to be successful and we all want to have a happy life, but we constantly look for the easy way. We look for the escalator in hopes that life will be easier. Unfortunately, in our search for making things easier, we are actually making them worse. Not that taking the escalator is so terrible, but again, we choose short-term easy, which often leads to long-term difficult, as opposed to choosing short-term difficult, which leads to long-term easy. So what do? Cows try to outrun the storm. They try to run away from the storm. And because of that, they end up being chased by the storm. They end up running with the storm. They can't outrun the storm. And they end up receiving the brunt of the storm in that process. Buffalo, on the other hand, instead of trying to wait out the storm or trying to run away from the storm, buffalo, so to speak, look the storm right in the eye of the storm, and they head straight into the storm. And you know what they do in the process? In a certain sense, they reduce their exposure to the storm because they run through the storm. The storm passes over them, and they actually spend less time in the storm than the cows. So the question I want to ask ourselves, do we want to be cows or do we want to be buffalo? Of course, the answer is we don't want to be cows, we don't want to be buffalo, we want to be human beings, we want to be Ovdei Hashem. But in the context of the 3 weeks, and particularly the 9 days, do we want to be like the cow who tries to avoid this whole matzav that we're experiencing now, these painful 9 days? Do we try to take almost a shortcut to try to avoid it? Or are we willing to face the storm? Are we trying to duck and run the other way, hoping that we're eventually just going to make it through and the sky is going to clear either with Mashiach's arrival or we'll make it to that island, that safe haven called Shabbos Nachamu? Or are we going to face the Churban head on and to really think about it? And that's going to hurt a lot more, but hopefully we can actually gain something from that experience. It reminds me of a comment I like to quote from the Das HaKeinim of the Bali HaTosfos. It's in Parshas Re'eh. It's a beautiful teaching. Mashal lezaken hayoshev al eim haderach. The Bali HaTosfos tell a story, a parable of an elder who's sitting by the crossroads. V'yesh lefanav shnei drachim, and there are 2 ways by which one can travel. Echad tchilaso kotzim v'sofo mishor. One path begins with thorns, but if you could just get past those thorns, eventually it's smooth sailing the rest of the way. V'echad, and the other path, tchilaso mishor v'sofo kotzim, starts off smooth, but then it's all thorns the rest of the way. And this elder who's been down both roads in the course of his life, he's mazir ha'ovrim derech sham. He warns people who are passing there, and he says to them, be careful of the path that starts off smooth, ki kulo kotzim atzofo, because after that first mile, it's disastrous the rest of the way. Lechu bezesh tchilaso kotzim, take on that difficulty, Be like the buffalo norm. Aval misha lo shama lo v'halach ba'osar shetchilaso mishar nichso b'sof. The wise person listens to the zaken and he takes the path, which initially is more difficult, but leads to something very beautiful on the other side. And he's thankful that he did. But the foolish person says, nah, I see what's in front of me now. It's easier just to take the easy path. It's easier to just, you know, kind of avoid what this zaken is telling me is going to be the reality that lies ahead if I choose this path. And unfortunately, the foolish individual, he chooses the easy path at the beginning, but he's nichshal basof, he stumbles the rest of the way. I once read a beautiful remez from a Rav from Far Rockaway. His name is Rabbi Yaron Halbertal. He's a Rebbe, I think he's a 7th grade Rebbe in Darchei Torah. And he explained that we have a pasuk in Mishlei, Rabos machshavos b'lev ish, va'atzas Hashem hi takum. There are many thoughts that a person has, trying to figure out how to proceed in life, in all aspects of life. Rabos machshavos b'lev ish. There's a lot of ways that we can act. Va'atzas Hashem, you know what Hashem's advice is? It's one word, takum. Rabbi Halbertal said, takum stands for tchilaso kotzim v'sofo mishor. Take the path that's thorny at the beginning, but is smooth afterwards. So again, the challenge to ourselves during the 9 days, what do we want to do? We have to make a choice. We could try to avoid the whole thing. We could try to just kind of, again, duck and run and just hope that we're going to somehow outrun the storm or avoid the pain of the Chorban. Or we could lean into it a little bit. And we could try to grow from it. It's such an opportunity that these days offer us. The Kazhetzer Magid, the Avodas Yisrael, who was a Talmud of the Magid of Mezrich, the Talmud of the Noam Elimelech. So he quotes from his Rebbe, the Magid of Mezrich, in his writings on last week's Parsha, in the Avodas Yisrael. And he says, these days, the Bein HaMetzar, where does the term even come from? Between the narrow straits. You almost get the picture of a person who's trying to, you know, is just trying to huddle together like a cow, like a pack of cows, a group of cows, just trying to avoid the storm. And we feel trapped. We feel like, I don't know how to grow during these days. I don't know how to expand myself during these days. We said in Hal this morning, Min HaMetzar Karasika, from the narrow straits, I call out to Hashem, help me to expand myself. I don't know where to turn. The name Bein HaMetzarim comes from the Pasuk in Eicha. The Pasuk says, Kol rodfa hi sigua Bein HaMetzarim, that all of the enemies of the Jewish people, it's the third Pasuk of Eicha, that all of the enemies of the Jewish people, they trapped us, they found us, they overcame us, Bein HaMetzarim, between the narrow straits. The Jewish people were surrounded and we were trapped. But says the Kazhetzer Magid, in the name of his Rebbe, in the name of the Magid of Mezrich, my Rebbe taught me, Kol rodfa hi sigua Bein HaMetzarim. He writes in the Avodas Yisrael Parshas Maaseh, Dahainu, Kol rodfeha, Kol mi sherodef lahamliches haborei, Yuchol lahasig yoser, Dafka biyamam elu Bein HaMetzarim. The way that the Svarim HaKadoshim explained this comment, Kol rodfeha, look at the word rodfeha, Kol rodef ka, yud and hey. Anyone who chases Hashem, Hisigua Bein HaMetzarim, you find Hashem Dafka in these days. In that pain, in that difficulty, by taking on that challenge, you actually, says the Magid of Mezrich, you discover Hashem Yoser, Dafka B'Yamamelu Bein HaMetzarim. Or as he quotes it in his writings on Pirkei Avos, that during the Bein HaMetzarim, it's Yoser V'Yoser, more and more during the Bein HaMetzarim. Then you find Hashem on normal circumstances. And he gives a mashal to explain it. He says, when the king is in the palace, it's the mashal we usually apply to Elul time, HaMelech Basada. But it already starts now, we're already in the preparatory days of figuring out what's going to be Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Not just because we're trying to figure out where we're actually going to sit this year. That's Sammy Moore's problem. Good luck, Sammy. Kol hakavod to you for taking on that task, along with others. Right? But these are days where we're supposed to be thinking about tshuva already. We'll talk more about that in a second. So that image of the Melech Basada is not just HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming down to the people to greet them with the opportunity of tshuva, but picture it from a Bein HaMetzarim perspective. The king has been kicked out of his palace. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Hashem is wandering around in the streets, but that's an opportunity for us. Kol rodfeha, kol rodef ka, anyone who chases Hashem, as opposed from disengaging from Hashem during these days, but rather engaging Hashem, running into the storm, he sigua will encounter Hashem like never before during the Bein HaMetzarim. From that pain, there's tremendous growth. Rabos machshavos b'leivish va'atzas Hashem hitokum. Take the path that's a little bit harder at the beginning, but it leads to Mashiach, it leads to Beis HaMikdash. The Sifsei Chaim, Rav Chaim Friedlander, in his third volume on Mu'adim, quotes from Rav Yisrael Salanter. Rav Yisrael Salanter said something, it's a bold statement. Rav Yisrael Salanter said that the spiritual elevation that we can achieve on Tisha B'Av is lo pachos mimasha adam misugol lis'alos b'yom ha-kippurim. Is no less. The spiritual growth we could have on Tisha B'Av, and we'll apply it to all of these days, again, culminating with Tisha B'Av, the height of this experience, is no less than the spiritual experience, the religious experience that one can have on Yom Kippur itself. What's the pshat? How do you say such a thing? Tisha B'Av is like Yom Kippur. You can say such a thing. We believe such a thing. Rav Yeruchim Olshin, Shlita, from Lakewood, from Beis Medrash Gavoa in Lakewood. So he has a beautiful svarim called Yareach LaMoadim. So they just put out a kuntris on the Bein HaMitzarim called Yareach LaMoadim. It's a preview of the full volume that's coming out by next year, but hopefully it'll never come out because Mashiach will be here by then. But he quotes this comment from Rav Yisrael Salanter, and he explains it based on a teaching from Rav Chatzkel Levenstein, the great Mashgiach. The great Mashgiach Rav Chatzkel said, here's how you grow on Tisha B'Av, and this will help us to understand what Rav Yisrael Salanter meant. The Talmud Yerushalmi says that any generation, one of the most painful statements in Chazal, any generation that doesn't build the Beis HaMikdash, it's ki'ilu nechrav b'yamav, it's as if you destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. What's the pshat? What are we supposed to feel during these days? Says Rav Chatzkel Levenstein in his volume on Amuna, the Ori Yecheskel on Amuna, that during the Bein HaMitzarim, it's an opportunity for us to what? To feel, to be caught in the storm. Again, to use our mashal that we're using tonight. To feel the pain of not having a Beis HaMikdash. To realize what the Talmud Yerushalmi means when it says that if we didn't build the Beis HaMikdash, we're responsible for destroying the Beis HaMikdash. Says Rav Chatzkel Levenstein, what does the Yerushalmi mean? She'osem ha-chata'im she'garmu le'charban. That the very aveiros that we did to cause the chorban, heim ha-siba le'menias binyan ha-mikdash ha-chadash, is still the reason that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash now. In other words, to say it very succinctly, nothing has changed. We're still as guilty as the time of the Chorban. V'lu ozvu maisim ra'amelu, and if we would just stop doing the wrong things that we did once upon a time, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who desires to give us a Beis HaMikdash, would in fact give us a Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaLevi says, from Hashem's perspective, taking away a Beis HaMikdash and giving a Beis HaMikdash are equally easy. They're equally simple. Beis HaLevi gives a mashal. Imagine I have someone who, a dear friend of mine, and I give him a gift. Right? And then we have a falling out. So I may not want to give him a new gift, but it would take a tremendous amount of hatred to take back the gift that I gave him. Right? I mean, 2 years ago, we were good buddies. So now I'm going to come on his knock on his door and say, remember 2 years ago when we were friends? I want that object back. I may not give him new things, but I'm not going to take back old things. Says the Beis HaLevi, from Hashem's perspective, it's all the same. Giving is super easy, taking away is super easy, and therefore, says the Beis HaLevi, from Hashem's perspective, if Hashem hasn't given us the Beis HaMikdash, it's ki'ilu he's taken away the Beis HaMikdash. It's one and the same from Hashem's perspective. It's such a powerful insight. So says Rav Chatzkel Levenstein, if Hashem hasn't given us the Beis HaMikdash, there's only one explanation. You know what it is? Adayin osa siba nimtzes. The reason that the Beis HaMikdash was taken away is still present by us. V'hi monas ha-binyan ha-chadash. And therefore, yes, anyone who doesn't build the Beis HaMikdash in their generation, it's as if we've literally destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, says Rav Chatzkel Levenstein, when this hakara comes upon us, when we face the storm, again, to use our language tonight, when we face the storm and we feel, wow, that's nuts that after 2,000 years we haven't done anything to better our situation, that's going to be Yom Kippur-like. That's going to inspire us to want to change. We have to do something. Is there any other day that we're more honest with ourselves than Yom Kippur? Meaning, usually our aveiros, we make excuses all year round, but on Yom Kippur, we face the facts, we face the reality. Says Rav Yerucham Olshin, using this idea from Rav Chatzkel Levenstein, we can understand what Rav Yisrael Salanter is saying. Tisha B'Av is like Yom Kippur, yes. Because on Tisha B'Av, we stop running away. We sit down on the floor and we face the facts. It's like Yom Kippur in that sense. We're able to what? We're able to acknowledge what we've done wrong and hopefully to actually make some changes in our life, the same way that we do on Yom Kippurim. In Rabbi Shlomo Katz's compilation, The Soul of Jerusalem, He writes on page 148, "We ran away from Egypt, but now we're running to Yerushalayim. This is important. Instead of running from something, run towards something. It makes the whole difference. When something hurts you, don't run away from your friends. This is the time to run to your friends. Children, when they're little, what do? Do they run away? No, they run to their parents. When we get older, we get perverted. We run away from things. Whenever a person is sad, they want to run away from the world. They want to run away from themselves. They want to run away from God. What happened to Adam and Chava? Their first mistake is what? Is that they ran away. Away from Hashem, away from paradise. They began hiding. Sometimes you talk to the person you love the most and you can't get through to them. They're hiding. They're building walls around themselves. That's what the Bein HaMetzarim is. They're running away even though they're right there in front of you. And our job, again, is not to run away, but our job is to run towards. I saw online today, I think Major League Baseball is starting tomorrow. Can someone confirm that? Is that true? I think baseball season. Okay, Corey, thank you. Baseball starts tomorrow. I don't care much for sports, and I really don't care much for baseball. I know some people are diehard baseball people. But, you know, if there's anything we can take from sports, there's Torah lessons in sports. And actually, I read a biography recently about a grandson of Rav Shraga Feivel Mendelovich. And in there, they pointed out something about a famous baseball stat that I was not familiar with, and I read up on it today, and it's so interesting. It's so amazing. It's really so amazing. What an amazing lesson we can take from baseball. Listen to this. Maybe it's well known to the baseball fans out there. Ted Williams in 1941 had a 400 batting average. And on September 28, 1941, Ted Williams was going into the last game of the season. His batting average going into that game, it was a doubleheader against the Philadelphia Athletics, and his batting average going into that game was .39955. And they offered him the opportunity to sit out the game, sit out the doubleheader, because I guess statistically they would round him up to 400, and that's a chashuv thing. A 400 batting average is a chashuv thing. By the way, here we are many, many years later, and he's the last one to hit 400. He was the last one in the 20th century to have a 400 batting average. But he went into that doubleheader, those last two games, and he decided, against the judgment of some of the people around him, he decided, I'm playing the doubleheader. I'm going to play the game. Because he decided, if I'm going to earn a 400 average, I'm going to earn it. I'm not gonna hide out and avoid the storm those last two games. And it was a difficult game because it was late in the season, and they said it was the shadow and the sun and all different things. It was a particularly difficult game to actually be able to play. But he decided to play that game. He decided to play in that doubleheader, and he earned his 400 batting average. He didn't run away from the opportunity that presented itself to him. Right? But he decided to rise to the challenge because he felt if I lean into the storm, if I take on the challenge, as opposed to avoiding it and taking the path of least resistance, right, then I'll be able to really, you know, make a mark of distinction for myself. And it's a stat that he's kept until this very day. I want to leave you with a mashal of Rav Shmelka of Nicholsburg. It's very similar to the mashal we shared earlier from the Kashrut Zer Magid. But Rav Shmelka of Nicholsburg said a king was once forced out of his palace. And he was wandering, and he ended up staying. He came to a distant land, and he stayed by a friend that he knew in this distant place. And he saw that the friend was somewhat happy to see him, and he was somewhat sad. And every day, throughout the stay, the king was staying by him, his close friend, his host. He saw some days he was so happy, and some days he was mamish. He caught him crying in the corner, and he said to him, I don't understand. Are you happy I'm here, or are you not happy I'm here? And his friend said to him, listen, he said, you know what? On the one hand, I'm so sad that you're here. I'm so sad you can't be in your palace. It's so disappointing for me to see that you're in exile, that you're running around, that the king has been kicked out of his palace. But on a personal level, on the level of friendship, I'm so happy to welcome you into my home. So I have these mixed emotions. On the one hand, I'm overjoyed. On the one hand, I'm so broken and I'm so sad. And again, says Rav Shmelka of Nicholsburg, that's exactly the feeling that we have during these days. On the one hand, we're so sad that we're doing this again, but it's such a big opportunity to welcome Hashem once again. It's an opportunity to sit with Hashem, to feel the pain of the Chorban, to make it Yom Kippur-like, where we stop avoiding, we stop running away. We ran away from Egypt, but now is the time to run back to Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, to face the sins, to realize that if we haven't built the Beis HaMikdash, we've destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and to be no less than the buffalo who are able to run into the storm, to understand that if we face the storm, we'll actually will reduce our exposure to the pain and the difficulty of engaging that storm. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless us. We should be engaged Jews during these days. We shouldn't tune out. We shouldn't duck and run. We shouldn't set our sights on our plans for Shabbos Nachamu or whatever our vacation plans for the rest of the summer might be, if we're zochet to such things. Right? But we should point ourselves towards Yerushalayim HaKodesh. We should take that path of Rabbos Machshavos B'Lev Ish Va'atzas Hashem Yitokum Tchiloso Koshtim. If we take the thorns at the beginning, then Sofo Mishra, then Amir Hashem will come to that smooth sailing, that road to Yerushalayim HaKodesh and to the Beis Hamikdash and the Gula Shleima B'Meher B'Aminu Amen. Thank you all for tuning in tonight, and I wish you a Laila Tov.